Now, I told us as we were entering into this quarter that we are going to be doing book study. And the book we've chosen to kickstart our book study is the book of James. And for those who have been following, you will remember or recall that we are going bit by bit into the book, beginning with chapter 1 and taking it from verse 1 down through to another verse, depending on the subject that block of the book is addressing. That's what we've been doing. And I did tell us that the arrangement of the book until the era of canonization is that it's the entire book is one whole pack. It was in the course of canonization that started to introduce chapters and verses. That is to say that it is not as if, when we finish verse 1, it goes to verse 2, verse 2 to verse 3. The people who did the canonization decided to look at issues that a segment is addressing and then decided to put them together in that regard. We will not follow it, chapter 1, then go to chapter 2, then chapter 3. We are going to be looking at the books from the subject that that entire pack is addressing. And today, in our study, we want to look at James chapter 1, verse 13 to 18. And the subject that is being addressed can simply be captioned, "Yield not to temptation." Can we say it together? I didn't hear you. I said, say it emphatically. Thank you. And we are going to be reading 5 verses. James chapter 1, verse 13 to verse 18. Alright, I'm going to read from my own version. Just follow me wherever you are. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, "God is tempting me." God is never tempted to do wrong, and He never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So, don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chooses to give birth to us by giving us His true word. And we, out of all creation, became His prized possession. Our time is quite short, so I'm going to be as fast as possible. Just take note of areas of concern or areas you want to ask in the course of our presentation so we can address them before we round up this session. In my introduction, I said the title of an old hymn provides the topic for this session: "Yield not to temptation." By the grace of God, at the conclusion of this presentation, we shall be taking that hymn and look at the weddings and sing the hymn together. James has a lot to say about temptation, and he decided to deal with it right from the beginning of his epistle, the very first chapter. The focus here is the inward inducement that entices people to commit sin or evil deeds. Temptation abounds everywhere. Whether at home, we find temptation to see how strong we are as children against lying, stealing, disobedience, stubbornness, etc. Outside our homes, when parents and guardians are not around, the tendency to yield to all kinds of enticement are quite strong. And I have often tell my children that anything you are doing, when you hear the voice of daddy or mommy coming and you stop doing that thing immediately, it means that thing is what? It's a sin. Whatever you are doing and you hear somebody coming, or you seem to feel that if somebody is coming, let me drop this thing. That thing is definitely not right. And anything that is not right is a sin. So what it behoves us to do, therefore, is that thing that we will do or that we would not have done if people were not there, we shouldn't do it when people are not there. Because if we do, we are committing sin, or we are doing something that is wrong. In the course of the study, we'll do further explanation on this. Older people may also fall into temptation to sin when, for instance, the boss or supervisor is not around. Workers may decide to sleep at work or even leave the office for other engagements. Professional workers who travel to places have sometimes been found to be unfaithful outside their homes. Students who take exam can fall into the temptation to cheat when they think their teachers or invigilators are not around to watch them. In all of these, James provides insight as to what our attitude should be when temptation comes. The suffering the Lord went through to be something to be placed side by side with what he was going through. But that's not true. You and that prayer partner will meet periodically, join hands in prayer, a prayer of agreement, prayer of helping one another. It has gone a long way to help so many persons, and I know if we employ it, it will produce positive results in our lives. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 says, we should not forsake the assembly of believers. We should not neglect the coming together of Christian brethren. Like I said before, iron will always sharpen iron. But today, as children of God, who are the friends we are having? Gossip friends. Friends that will not help us to grow. Friends that will not help us to become the kind of spiritual giant that the Lord wants us to be. How then are we not going to be susceptible to temptation? Someone has said somewhere, tell me your friend, and I will tell you who you are. Number two, thing I want us to know about temptation is that during temptation, we must assume personal responsibility. I was discussing with my brother Opeyemi this afternoon in office, and I was telling him, one of the things that led to what we are going through in the world today is the tendency of man to shift blame. When Adam and Eve sinned against God in the garden, Scripture says prior to that day, God will come in the cool of the evening to visit them, to soothe their pain, ask them questions, check on their welfare, what they went through in the garden that day, wonderful fellowship that ordinary man will have direct access to God one-on-one. What a beautiful and golden opportunity that the Almighty God will come down and sit with man and be asking him questions. While I was in the seminar, I used to tell my lecturer, I said, there are several questions in scriptures. When we argue and argue in the class, you can't give me the answer that will convince me. I'll write it down. I said, when I meet Jesus, I'm going to ask him. But in the case of Adam and Eve, they didn't have to get a jotter to write their question for a long time, because at the cool of the evening, God is definitely busy. And when he show up, they ask whatever they want. Wonderful fellowship. But on that fateful day, Satan the devil came and alienated man, separated man. He asked them, did God really say? And when God eventually came to visit in the garden, he was calling, Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam said, I am hiding. Where are you hiding? He said, because I'm naked. Who told you are naked? Have you eaten the fruit of which I said you should not eat? Rather than for Adam to say, Oga, I'm sorry. He said, Oga, you see now, since when only me did this garden, I've never touched that fruit one day. It was this woman you gave to me to come out. The day you created this woman for me, that was my problem started. If you have not created a woman in this garden, you know it, you trust me that I will never have touched it. And God said, if what happened, if say my Oga, it is not intentional. I have been in the garden with the fruit for a long time. The Satan, the devil, the serpent came. He opened my eyes to the importance and the efficacy. He ate the fruit in my presence and nothing happened to him. He told me, you are a wicked God. You didn't want us to be like you. I ate. They were shifting the blame. And that is the tendency that has continued to rub up on man till today. The tendency to shift the blame. Chaplain, why did this one? I said, now, Robinson. You see now, because now put Robinson as chaplain assistant. We look for ways to push it. Husband and wife look for ways to push it to each other. Father and children look for ways to shift the blame. We must take personal responsibility for our actions. That's what James was emphasizing in verse 14 to 16. In our sin-soaked society, where there are pressures every day to join others to sin, it is important to note that we are not alone when temptation comes. Each of us must have been tempted to shift blame, that's what I've been emphasizing, to other persons as being responsible for our actions. In the beginning, Adam shifted the blame on his creator for creating a helpmate. In other words, he was saying, if God did not create Eve, possibly he would not have yielded to sin against God's law. Some people will say, everybody is doing it, I must join them. The cliche, if you cannot beat them, you do what? Join them. It's playing out on many. Now, so then they do, I'm here. It is the in thing. It is the reigning thing. I told us here of a woman who was telling the grown-up daughter, you know they see your mate? You know they see your mate when they buy phone for their mother? You sit down for hours here with me. What was she telling the girl? Others may claim, nobody is perfect. Yes. To err is human. To forgive is divine. Others may say, Satan made me to do it. So a preacher has said somewhere, he said, if Satan were to come physically to earth today, he would have said some of the things they are pushing on his head. Say, my hand and my leg, not do it. You know, day for this one. Everything that happened, we push it to Satan, and Satan, I push me. Many of them, Satan was even sleeping in wherever he stayed. And yet, we accuse him as being responsible for our action. The excuses are many, but the point remains that we are responsible for our action. I keep emphasizing this. If only Adam and Eve had owned up and said, "Oga, we are sorry. Please have mercy. Please forgive us." Possibly what we are going through today wouldn't have been. But they were shifting the blame. That's how many of us shift blame. If only parents will not develop the tenets of shifting blame. If only children will not develop the tenets of shifting blame. Of holding somebody else guilty for their action, the world will have been a better place. The blame game, maybe the pressure from peers that made us commit sin. James says we must assume full responsibility for our actions. He lists lust, that is, a strong desire for evil things. For instance, we saw David allow his eyes to look until he could not resist the beautiful Bathsheba, taking her into his house. It's a familiar story to us. Achan lost out due to lust of the eye. God told them, plunder everything. David was supposed to go to war at a time when kings lead their troops to go to war. He was busy on the balcony walking around and he saw somebody else's wife. I don't know what happened that Bathsheba's wife, husband, could not even build a bedroom for her. She has to be beaten outside for David to see. And David will see, and he did not remove his eyes. He was looking and looking until he became a leucozid, and he fell into temptation. Killed somebody and took the wife. Achan and his troops, they went for war. God told them, plunder everything. Don't take anything out. And at the war, he saw some beautiful items. Say, these things go good. I will carry them as souvenir. That was how he brought trouble to the camp of Israel. Joshua chapter 7. 1 John 2:16 lists the pride of life also, that is, the idea of arrogance over one's circumstances, which produce haughtiness or exaggeration, parading what one possesses to impress other people, showing up. All these can predispose people to temptation. The Lord Jesus says, whatever can lead you to sin, get rid of it. Do not allow it to lead you to sin. Whether it is your hand, your leg, your mouth, your eyes. Mark chapter 9. Jesus said, if your eye will cause you to sin, what did he say you should do? Pluck it out. Say, it will be better for you to go to heaven with one eye than to carry your whole body to hellfire. If your hand will cause you to sin, cut it off. Jesus was not literally saying we should go and carry cutlass and cut our hands or blind our eyes. But he was emphasizing the need for us to deal with whatever it is that will lead us to sin. Even in church, falsification of figures because we want to make quick gain. Someone was saying it, I think it's Brother Opeyemi, he was saying it on Sunday, and it is true. What did I go write for the receipt? We went to buy one thing. Is this where? I can't remember. Someone was asking, "Okay, what did I go write for the receipt?" I said, "I don't understand." Say, what do you want me to write? How much did I buy the thing from you? Is it not what I bought from you? We write the receipt. Falsification of figures because we want to make quick gain. The Bible says, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul?" Quick gain, small thing. I was discussing with somebody Tech Fund released money to one of the colleges of education in Delta State. And they said it was on the news. Somebody used 12.8 million to build four toilet apartments. 12.8 million. It's not a fluke. I'm telling you a real story. 12,800,000 to build what?
Four toilets.
I was wondering whether there are air conditioners inside the toilet. Falsification of figures. I read something on the on social media. I think yesterday I was sharing with Sister Ijiro. Say one state, they give ultimatum of 72 hours. All those things that looted mummy. That they should return them. And the looters responded. All the government money you people have been looting.
Yes, bring them back.
Looters are looting the looters now. Or is it looter looting the lootee? I don't know. You gotta ask mommy Osaku, we will tell you whether the English is correct. But my emphasis is sin is being committed with impunity, even in the church. What would that do for me? I bought fuel from you from your filling station, 5,000. I will now write 7,000 naira because I want to collect. What will it take? Where will it take me to? Where? As Bishop Ahumapa said, he said, hell will not be full until some people pass through the church to go to hell. God forbid that I should be the one to pass through the church and go to hell. God forbid that you should be the one to pass through the church and go to hell. Literally to sin. Literally to sin. Mazayon acted a film many years ago. The title is Just a Little Sin. Where the adulterers and the fornicators will go, that is where the liars will go. The same hell. In our modern times, my time is up. In our modern times, those who are weak-willed should avoid going places that can lead them to sin against God and fellow human beings. Whatever can lead to sin more, it may be drug abuse, alcoholism, life of immorality, covetousness, must be avoided by all means. Do you know there are even married men and women who still live life of immorality in spite of the fact that they are married? In my place, whatever it is that you think will be done that will make you be lured into sin, you must sever it from your life by all means. That is the kind of impression that is given. But people do many things today and they don't care about it. It doesn't matter. I pray that God will deliver us from the spirit of it doesn't matter in the name of Jesus Christ. Sorry, we have to stop here, but the bottom line of our emphasis today is, please, everything that you know you are going to put your hand into, I am going to put my hand into, that will not glorify God, I must run from it. And you must run from it. Satan has the tendency of painting sins and make it look as if it is something that is good. But we must be cautious and be careful. And it's my prayer tonight that God, in His infinite mercy and favor, will grant us the grace to live a life of piety, a life of holiness, a life that we make us hate sin, make us see sin as something not to cooperate with, not to mingle ourselves with. So that when it comes, he will be able to receive us into his kingdom. Sin kills, sin destroys, and the access to sin, or what leads us into sin, is temptation. When temptation comes and we cooperate with the temptation and we fall into it, we are already arranging ourselves on the way to hellfire. I pray God will not give us that opportunity to lead ourselves through the process of passing through the church to hell in the name of Jesus Christ. But that God will help us in such a way that when we see sin, we'll run away. When temptation is coming, that God will grant us the grace to be able to surmount, suppress, and overcome that temptation so we can gain promotion in the business of the Lord and his kingdom. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. We have to stop here because curfew is around the corner. Over to you, moderator.
We thank God for his servant that he has used to bless us today. And we pray that the word we have heard today will not be found wanting in any way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's offering time.
Now, if you have your question, write them down, keep them, send them to me. When we meet next time, we shall respond to them. Our time is up, please.
You are my velocity. You are my velocity. My velocity. You are my velocity. You are my velocity.
Let us pray. And so, our Father and our God, we want to thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence tonight. I want to appreciate you for the study we've had. We want to ask, O God, that the grace not to yield to temptation when Satan comes to buffet us with wine, may you release upon our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Grant us the grace to be able to say no to Satan's suggestions at all times in the name of Jesus Christ. Our Lord God Almighty, you, in your own time, when you were on this planet physically, you also came across satanic temptation.